Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
And I'm certainly not saying any of this to give glory to the devil. I wouldn't want to give 1 ounce of honor to old Slewfoot. He's stupid. You know why he's stupid? Because he thinks with all the efforts that he's coming up with, he's going to win. And he's still a loser. That's why he's Lucifer. Loserfer. Let's call him Loserfer. So we understand, we've read the back of the book. We know who the winner is. He's got no power to even go against God. That's why when the Battle of Armageddon takes place one day, all the dragon-empowered works of the beast and the false prophet, it's not even a battle, it's a slaughter. The Bible said he destroys them with the brightness of his coming, a sword that goes out of his mouth. They're vanquished, they're dead, they're gone. Just like that, zapped. For all of the generations of power, the Bible says he only has 1 hour to rule. 1 hour. Compared to an eternity that the church of the living God is going to serve and sing. So while on one hand, I know that we are more than conquerors, on the other hand, we still have to deal with this flesh and blood. And the devil is the greatest deceiver that's ever existed. And there are something called the wiles of the devil. That's his devices. He's got devices. Some of them have them right. You know, I'm using my device. I got scripture on it. But we can use these devices wrongly until they become the devices of the devil. You can use any technology wrong. That's why you can't just preach against. Let me do some good teaching here that's got sound wisdom in it and biblical balance in it. You can't just preach against a single item or object of technology. You're silly if you do that. Somebody say, well, I would never have a television. Well, you got one on your phone. But there are some folks that have done more damage with a cell phone than they ever did with a television because of your wagging tongue and your backbiting spirit. See what I'm saying? So you can't judge the technology. You got to judge how you're using the technology. We might be better off to get rid of every device and just go hide in a cave somewhere and not use anything. But I think that shows an elementary ability to be a child of God in this hour. What did Jesus say? If you have something to offend you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. But you see, amputation is not a fruit of the Spirit. Show me where amputation is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not. Amputation is an elementary action that you have to take because you are not mature enough to handle it. If you can't stop gossiping on a cell phone, maybe you ought to get rid of it. I know you're not. You're not going to get rid of it. But it's going to be a wile of the devil in your hands. It's going to be a device he can use to find your vulnerability. So amputation is not a fruit of the Spirit, but what is? Go to the fruits of the Spirit. A fruit of the Spirit is temperance, right? Temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. You know what temperance is? Temperance is balance. Temperance is self-control. So this is what I've taught for many years. If you can't handle a device, you need to go to the elementary place of cutting it off. Don't even mess with it. But I'm not just talking about videos and DVDs and streaming. I'm talking about phones and computers. You got to put them all in the same thing. That's why I'm not just preaching against one device. I'm preaching against the demons of the devices. Because every device can be used illegitimately and spiritually illegal and make you a sinner in the presence of God if you don't use it right and with a wholesome spirit. If somebody in here was tempted to drink alcohol, have any ex-alcoholics here? No shame. You have a testimony, okay? So you're not tempted by it now, but let's say back in the day, if you were really tempted to drink whiskey, okay, let's just say it's whiskey. It doesn't matter if I pour the whiskey in a golden goblet and treat you like one of the knights of the round table? Oh, we have discovered the chalice. I'm going to drink whiskey out of it. It doesn't matter if it's a golden goblet or a paper cup, right? Did you buy it, you know, one of those nice little, what's the brand? Plastic cups? You got your Solo, thank you. A Solo cup or a golden goblet or a fancy glass or whatever it is. You know, the thing used to be you go buy something, you hid it in a brown paper bag, as if the whole world didn't know what you were doing. So why were you hiding it in a brown paper bag? Everybody in the world knew you were signaling every police officer between here and D.C. It wasn't the container that was dangerous. It's the content that is dangerous. The content on your radio, the content on your phone, the content on a TV, the content on a computer. These are all devices that can be used as wiles of the devil and can create atmospheres where the prince of the power of the atmospheres has direct access to your mind and spirit. You see why we have to have daily prayer? Because when I go to God and I say, Lord, forgive me, and I tie my flesh around the horns of that altar and say, God, forgive me, as Bishop teaches, forgive me of presumptuous sins and forgive me of ignorant sins and forgive me of willful sins. And you lay all that out there before God and you make sure that you stay daily clean before the Lord. Don't you get arrogant. Oh, well, I'll never have a problem with that again. No, you're flesh and blood. You're a human being. And the devil is going out trying to find stronger reinforcements to make you rebel against the word of God. He may not have found your weakness today, but he's going to keep looking. That's why I got to get to church. I need a man of God to preach to me. I need the word of God to empower me. I need the hedges to be stronger. I need the walls to get thicker. Because his walls are salvation and his gates are praise. I don't just want anything coming through the gates. That's why Laodicean Christians aren't going to make it. Because they have become spiritually and scripturally lazy. And they no longer have a righteous defense against a rebel devil that is finding the vulnerabilities. He chips away and plugs away and goes out and finds. But you know what? If I stay prayed up and I stay in the presence of God, and it doesn't even matter. He might get me to trip up, but I ain't staying down. I'm getting back to church. I'm finding that place of repentance. I'm going to make a turn. I'm going to get up off this ground. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to learn from my mistake. I'm not going to let it become a stumbling block. I'm going to turn it into a stepping stone because I'm going to go to my advocate, my defense attorney, Jesus Christ. I'm going to plead the blood of the Lamb, and I'm going to put Lucifer back in his place. And so again, I say, it's not amputation that's the fruit of the Spirit, it's temperance. We have to have self-control. We have to have temperance. What helps me to have temperance and self-control and balance? What gives me balance? You got to have balance to walk. You have a right and a left and a right and a left. See, I can't just live over here. That's an extreme. If I live on the left, I'm going to atrophy the right. If it's not used, and I'm going to wear out the left, going to get bone fragments in the knee, ligaments are going to get stretched, you know, ankle bones are going to get wore out, arthritis is going to set in. If you just use this one all the time, does it make sense? I'm just hopping around. We don't need any hop-along Cassidys in the church. We need people of balance, right, left, right. I can't just go right either. So let me show you the 1-2 of the church. Jesus told it to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. What did he tell her? He said, true worshipers are coming. They're going to worship God in two ways, in this balance. In spirit, that's your spirit, and in truth. You know what that is? Inspiration. Woo! I feel good. I feel God. I feel like running the aisles. I feel like dancing. I feel like shouting with that choir. Great. Wonderful. I'm glad you feel that way. But the other side of that is in truth. You got to have instruction. Don't talk about your inspiration if you don't have any instruction. You don't follow the manual, you ain't going to know how to put your life together. So we have to have both inspiration and instruction. That's right, left, truth, spirit, instruction, inspiration. I can't just live off of one. That's unbalanced, and I'm going to fall to one side or the other. Temperance is this. How do I walk the straight and narrow? In balance. Don't be so heavenly minded that you ain't no earthly good. You've told that to somebody, or you've been told that. Now, sometimes it's mockers of the world just trying to take a shot at your spirituality and devotion to God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in a real sense that you can't act like Mr. Holier or Mrs. Holier than thou, and you don't ever do anything for anybody. This is a service-oriented Christianity. I can't just take from God and live in my spiritual Himalayas and be a Christian isolationist. That's not what God told us to be. He said, be a light to the world. Be salt of the earth. You make a change. You make a difference. You got to have balance. And there's ditches on both sides of the road when you're walking with God, because there is a spirit that will push people back toward the old beggarly elements of the world, where they go back to substances that God delivered them from, whatever that might be, or certain behaviors and sensations and atmospheres and environments that God delivered them from. They go back to those because all of a sudden they feel in this cheap grace moment, in this easy believism world, that they can do that and get by with it. No, that's a pitfall. But there's also one on the other side where you feel better than everybody else, and you measure yourself based on all the sacrifices you've made and all the giving that you've done and all the souls that you've won and all the prayer and fasting that you've done. That's a pitfall too. There's self-righteousness actually on both sides. And the enemy looks constantly. The spirit that now worketh is looking constantly for these weaknesses and places of vulnerability. Okay, so I know I can't get that one to go backslide and do things in the world, but maybe I push them toward feeling like they're better than everybody else, or feeling a sense of spiritual entitlement because they've served the Lord for a certain amount of time and they just think I ought to bless them. But in the middle of that, there is, I thank God for where He brought me from. I thank God for where He's taken me. And in the meantime, I'm going to walk with balance. I'm going to have humility, because I know a man that thinketh himself to be something with he is nothing deceiveth himself. But I'm also going to have boldness, because I'm able, out of that humility and knowing who I am and what I am as a child of God, I can speak the word of God boldly, because I'm not representing my goods. I'm representing His goods. And He is great. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He's the standard. I don't have to lower the standard to make myself look better. I've got to raise me up. And the way I do that is I keep walking with Him. That's part of the spirit that is working in the church. Because Luke said, if these spirits go out and they get those seven times more wicked than them, they come back to the house and they take it over, the latter state of that man is worse than the former state. So let's not get braggadocious and religiously arrogant and rest on our morals. Let us exercise daily faith. You need it and I need it. And there's sometimes the greatest revelations of holiness that we have is an up close and personal mirroring of our own humanity. When you've gone through something and you realize that without the grace of God, you wouldn't have made it another step. That without the mercy of the Lord, you wouldn't be in the house of God today. You'd be another backslid statistic. You'd be laid up in some graveyard somewhere. And so with that recognition and with that spiritual humble acknowledgement, you know that you need God. And out of that humility, you can grow to great places. It's haughtiness that causes a man to fall. It's pride that goes before destruction. We can have that religious pride. Remember the Pharisee praying in the temple? He said, oh, thank God that I'm not like that sinner. And he's comparing himself to the sinner. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, true holiness is not comparative. I don't get to say I'm holy because I look at somebody else that isn't doing what I'm doing and say, ha ha, I got that one beat. No, comparative holiness is not holiness. Jesus is the standard. Jesus is the standard. Submission to that standard is holiness. And when I look at myself in the mirror of God's word, it doesn't matter how long you've served God, you still see there are some areas that God has to work on. It is then in humility you see how great and holy He is. Because in Him there is no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. God doesn't have a blemish. He doesn't have 1 ounce of blame. He's never sinned. Sin doesn't know God. He is perfection. He is the highest standard. So he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Don't compare yourselves with other people. Compare yourselves with me. And when I do that, I can keep these devils in the dry places and they don't come back to my house. Because in my humility, I stay broken before the Lord. And that blood on the post outside, it keeps them devils away. That relationship that I have with God, you know, that little plaque that hangs out on the door, it says, Jesus lives here. Praise God. Think about this. I'm gonna really build this into an evangelistic message, but I'll give you a piece of it now because it was on my mind the other day. But you think about how we tour places around the world. We just were overseas, and, you know, we had to go to Blenheim Palace because that's where Winston Churchill was born. I love Winston Churchill. What a historical figure. I'm walking through here, and this is where Winston Churchill was born. Or we go to places, you know, that even might have tragedy connected to them, like Ford Theater in D.C. This is where President Lincoln was shot. So we go in fascination and we tour these places because this is where important individuals were, right? We spend money, plane tickets, go halfway around the world to see a place where some king that's been dead for centuries lived. Look at your neighbor that's got the Holy Ghost. Jesus lives here. Think about that. You ought to take a tour of the church. Jesus is here. We're not just visiting some memorial. We're not visiting some tour site where this is where somebody used to live and walk centuries ago. He's in the house. He's working in the building. His spirit lives in us. The church of the living God, and you individually as a Holy Ghost filled child of God, you are a personal residence of the Almighty. Isn't that powerful? We do pay tithes, but that's, you know, that's part of what you understand when you get in the church. Maybe we should start charging a tour fee out there at the front. What would you pay to go see Prince William right now, to sit down and have lunch with him? What would you be willing to pay? We ain't talking about Prince William. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's in this house. Well, I can't see him. You stick around long enough, you'll see him. He'll show up in the faces and in the praise and in the worship of others. We're dealing with spirits, the spirit that now worketh. So why is it important for me to maintain a relationship with God, understanding this? Because you're either a child of disobedience or you're a child of obedience. We've already clarified that there's no neutral ground. There's no spiritual Switzerland here. You have to be either, Jesus said, you're either for him or against him. You're either gathering or you're scattering. There's no middle ground. You're either in the church or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. This is not horseshoes. You can't be close. You're either in or you're out. And if I understand that, then the spirit that is presently working and battling and fighting me, it can't gain ground or find vulnerabilities when I stay submitted to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, James said. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The power of resistance is in my submission to God as a child of obedience. So just as there's a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, there's a spirit that's working in the children of obedience. And Paul will get into that more in chapter 3 when he starts talking about eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth the deep things of God. So when I'm letting the Spirit work in me, I'm letting it lead me to a deeper relationship, deeper focus, deeper understanding, deeper commitment, deeper consecration, and on, because the Spirit searcheth the deep things of God. So there's something working in all of us today. And what is it? The operation of God The operation of light or the operation of darkness, the operation of devils. It's one or the other. Well, I just decided I'll retire. You can say that all you want to. You can sit on the sideline and act like you're in some static state of mind. Doesn't matter. You're either for or against. You're either in or you're out. You're either on the journey toward heaven or hell. There's no middle ground. And to me, that keeps my alarm, my spiritual alertness. It keeps me sober-minded. And it helps me to understand daily that with this flesh I have to deal with, I've got to keep it subject to the will of God, to the Word of God, and to the Spirit that now worketh in the church. You know what it's going to, you know what's going to bring about the battle of Armageddon? They're not just going to be sitting around one day and going, well, I think we'll invade. You know what the Bible says? It says there are three spirits, one that comes from the dragon, from the false prophet, and one from the beast. There are three spirits, like frogs, that go out into the world and deceive the nations. It's a spirit that now worketh. It's working right now. It's working right now to set the stage. It's working right now. You don't think the enemy's read the Bible? You don't think the devil has been to many prophecy conferences? You don't think he showed up and sat on the back row and listened to eschatology experts? He knows what's coming. But he still thinks in his own blindness and blame and pride that at the very end he's going to get all these cohorts together and they're going to be able to battle the Lamb. They're going to be able to turn their weapons on the Lamb. Let me tell you, God's got more power in one snap of his finger than all the atomic energy of every nuclear warhead combined on this planet. If they were all to be detonated at the same time, it could not enhance or release enough force to make God even sneeze. Do you understand who you serve? And I want that God to stay at work in our church and work in our families and work in our ministries and work in our minds and work in our daily walk. And if you've got an area where you've been struggling and you know the enemy's trying to take advantage of that, then you take it to God in prayer and you take it to a spirit of repentance and you pray desperately. You learn to pray like David did. Lord, whatever you do, you renew me, you create a new heart in me. I mean, give me a spiritual heart transplant, whatever you got to cut out of me. But whatever you do, don't you take your spirit from me. Praise God. You let your spirit stay in there and work. Let it purify. Let it purge. Let it perfect. Let it continue to conform me into the image of his likeness. Not yours, but his. Because that's how we're going to win. That's how we stay overcomers, by the blood of the Lamb, in Jesus' name. Let's stand and lift our hands to the Lord for a few moments. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know what we're facing. You know what people in this room are struggling with. Individual thoughts, ideas, shifting theologies, questions about the Word of God, sometimes confusion that comes in. And Lord, you know how the enemy wants to take advantage of those things. And subtleties and certain phrases and persuasive speeches and commentaries of men that can lead people so easily astray. But I pray, God, for every disciple in this room that's filled with the Holy Ghost, that the Spirit of Almighty God, that the Holy Ghost would be the Spirit that worketh in us. Not the spirit of this age, not of the prince of the power of the air. I thank you, God, that you give us an atmosphere of worship, an atmosphere of prayer that combats the environments that the enemy is creating in our world to deceive. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. On the road.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.